Welcome to the Understanding World Religions podcast with Daniel White III. The purpose of this podcast is to help you become informed about the various religious beliefs that exist in the world today. Daniel White III is the president of Gospel Light Society International and a national best-selling author. He holds a master's degree in religion, a master of divinity degree, and a master of theology degree from Liberty Baptist Theological Seminary. He also holds a bachelor's degree in religion from Texas Wesleyan University. Before we begin, I'd like to inform you of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book that we're using, Understanding World Religions in 15 Minutes a Day by Gary R. Morgan. The book is available on our website for just $20. You can make your purchase today at understandingworldreligionspodcast.com. Now, here's your host, Daniel White III.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Evidence for the Truth of Christianity in Light of World Religions podcast. This is episode number 4. I am your host, Daniel White III, president of Gospel Light Society International. Today's passage of scripture is John 6:35, which reads, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Today's quote is from Lee Strobel. That is Lee Strobel. He said, "To continue in atheism, I would need to believe that nothing produces everything. Non-life produces life. Randomness produces fine-tuning. Chaos produces information. Unconsciousness produces consciousness. And non-reason produces reason. I simply didn't have that much faith." Beloved, our topic for today is titled On C.S. Lewis, Part 4, from the Encyclopedia of Apologetics. His major works. First, Mere Christianity. Lewis's most well-known apologetic work is Mere Christianity. The contents of this book were originally from a series of radio broadcasts Lewis did for the BBC in the 1940s. Pardon me. As such, they evoke a sense of personal warmth. Pardon me. As such, they evoke a sense of personal warmth that has endeared Lewis to readers for decades, and they contain many examples of clear logical argumentation that made him so effective as a teacher and apologist. Mere Christianity is divided into three parts. The first two follow the classical apologetic style. Lewis Uh, Lewis set out to demonstrate that belief in the existence of God is reasonable. And then he addresses the deity of Jesus Christ. His proof of God's existence is built on the foundation of the universal moral sense that all men share. He calls this the law of human nature. He does not mean that everyone practices exactly the same morals, but that there is a universal sense within people that some things are inherently right and others are inherently wrong. Also, people everywhere fail to live up to what they know to be right. From this, Lewis concludes that there is a moral law to which we are responsible, and therefore there must be a moral lawgiver. Laws do not exist apart from some authority which determines that law and has the authority to enforce it. That lawgiver, Lewis says, is God. Lewis's discussion of the deity of Christ comes in part two of the book. He rejects atheism and the deist idea of a God up in heaven who has little to do with the world, and turns to what he calls the shocking alternative that Jesus Christ was God and is God. His argument for this is the famous trilemma argument that says there are only three possible choices when we are confronted with Christ's own claims of deity. We may assume he is lying, that he knew he was not God, but made the claim anyway. We may assume that he was insane and thought he was God when he was not. Or we may believe that he really is God. That he was lying or insane does not make sense, for Jesus demonstrated a lifestyle that even his enemies recognize as meek and humble, not egotistical. His teaching demonstrates a high level of sanity and intelligence and awareness of the world around him and a commitment to morality. Thus, the only logical option is to believe Jesus' claims of deity, that he is God. This trilemma comes as a response to the idea that Jesus is a great moral teacher. Great moral teachers, Lewis says, would not make the kind of claims Jesus made. Christ did not give us even the option of treating him as no more than a moral teacher. And, as Lewis says, he did not intend to. The argument still surfaces today in different and sometimes more sophisticated forms. The Jesus Seminar, for example, was founded on the idea that Jesus was a Jewish teacher / philosopher of the first century, whose words were embellished by his followers. Those who have read the books and articles that flowed from that endeavor would do well to read Lewis. Part 3 of Mere Christianity deals with matters of ethics, and Part 4 with the doctrine of the Trinity and other deeper matters. The section on ethics contains much wisdom that today's church would do well to heed. Virtue is the focus here, and sections deal with faith, charity, love, and hope. despite its age, mere Christianity remains one of the best basic explanations of Christianity that one might give to a non-believer and read themselves. It answers many of the usual objections raised by unbelievers to this very day. Next week, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue this, and we also will begin reading portions of mere Christianity. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for our time together around your holy word and defending the faith and learning how to defend the faith even better. For every Christian ought to be an apologist. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to always be ready to give an answer for your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray that lost souls would believe in Christ, the God-man, Emmanuel, God with us, and be saved today. Amen. Now, beloved, in closing, I would like to say that even though we are covering many religious belief systems in this podcast, there is only one way of truly being cleansed of your sins, and only one way that you can be guaranteed an eternal home in heaven with God. That way is through Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. If you do not yet believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior yet, may I encourage you to trust him as your Savior today. Here is how. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell without Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Also, dear friend, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, this is bad news, but let me say quickly, I have some good news for you. His name is Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ himself said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Until next time, my beloved, may God richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Understanding World Religions podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book that we're using, Understanding World Religions in 15 Minutes a Day, by Gary R. Morgan. The book is available on our website for just $20. You can make your purchase today at understandingworldreligionspodcast.com. Please feel free to subscribe, rate, and leave a comment about this podcast on iTunes. You can also listen to the Understanding World Religions podcast on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, BlackBerry Podcasts, and via podcasting apps on the Google Play Store and the Amazon App Store.